It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and thank you for waiting very patiently for the last couple weeks. But I've been praying to God and asking Him, what should I talk about today? And then the story of Gideon came to mind, and I thought I hadn't read it before, but it's just I hadn't read it in a long time. And as soon as I remember the fleece thing, I was like, oh yeah, I remember the story. It's just funny, like, because I skip around so much that it takes a long time for me to come back to books I read a long time ago. So it was a good refresher for me. And then I wanted to get into find out more about the book of Judges, because the story of Gideon is found in Judges. And Gideon led a small group of men to defeat a huge army. And it's an interesting story, so I think we'll get into that a little bit today. But I found Judges to be very fitting for the times we're living in today. And as I'm kind of like got the understanding of what Judges was all about, because I saw like different stories in Judges, but when you see the overall picture, it really fits the times we're living in. So the purpose of the book of Judges is to show that God's judgment against sin is certain, and His forgiveness of sin and restoration to relationships are just as certain for those who repent. And repenting is going to be the key word here. And I think that's what we need as a nation, is to repent, because it doesn't look good, the situation we're living in. And over again in the book of Judges, well, over and over again, period, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Israelites would go back and forth to God. They'd worship God, and then they'd practice idolatry, and they'd worship God and practice idolatry, and they kept having to go through consequences of being either captured as slaves in Egypt or being conquered by Babylon, etc. So that's the whole point right now in this lesson, is about repentance. And the setting, it took place in Cana, later called Israel. God had helped the Israelites conquer Cana, which had been inhabited by a host of wicked nations. But they were in danger of losing their promised land because they compromised their convictions and disobeyed God. And I also want to kind of tie in a verse that really sticks out. And it says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. Huh. That kind of sounds like what we're living in right now, that everyone just does as he wants to, and it doesn't matter what the Word of God says, and it doesn't matter about what the law says. Clearly, if you watch the news, Arizona's been big on the 1070. So it doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. People do what they want to do. So I'm like, wow, that's an interesting key verse here. Actually, this book records Israel's first civil war. I thought that was pretty interesting too. But real heroes are hard to find these days. And we search in vain for men and women to emulate, to copy. And we can see that in the music, the movies, sports industries. And they produce a steady stream of stars who shoot to the top, then quickly fade from view, which happens all the time. And in the book of Judges, we see about 12 men and women who delivered Israel from its oppressors. These were judges. They were not perfect. In fact, they were included as assassins, a sexual promiscuous man, and a person who broke all the laws of hospitality. But they were submissive to God, and God used them. And that being the key word, being submissive to God. Because we can have a bad track record, but if we submit to God and ask for forgiveness, He can use us, and He's willing to use us. So we all have second, third, and fourth chances, which I think that's great about God. But Judges is also a book about sin and its consequences. Like a minor cut or abrasion that becomes infected when left untreated, sin grows and soon poisons the whole body. The book of Joshua ends with the nation taking a stand for God, ready to experience all the blessings of the promised land after settling in Canaan. However, the Israelites lost their spiritual commitment and motivation. When Joshua and the elders died, the nations experienced a leadership vacuum, leaving them without a strong central government. Instead of enjoying freedom and prosperity in the promised land, Israel entered the dark ages of our history. And that's how I feel about our country, because God has given us freedom. You can't have freedom from God. God gives freedom to people. It's His to give, and we've had prosperity, and God's given us prosperity. It's nothing we have done, because look at, we're in such huge financial debt. We have no jobs, and our government isn't doing anything to help. I don't know if they even can. I think it takes wisdom, and it takes God's hand of prosperity to bless our country. But why would He do that when we've moved away from the spiritual commitment and motivation that God the Father has given our forefathers, and it was handed down for generations? So that's what I think is parallel to the Old Testament and America. I'm not saying this is the promised land that God gave Israel. I'm just saying there's a parallel there between the nation of Israel from the Bible and America. I just see it that way. Simply stated, the reason for this rapid decline was sin, individual and corporate. The first step away from God was incomplete disobedience. The Israelites refused to eliminate the enemies completely from the land. This led to intermarriage and idolatry, and everyone doing as he saw fit. Before long, the Israelites became captives. Out of their desperation, they begged God to rescue them. In faithfulness to His promise and out of loving kindness, God would raise up a judge to deliver His people. And for a time, there'd be peace. Then complacency and disobedience would set in, and the cycle would begin again. Why do we have to keep going through this cycle of complacency and disobedience? Why can't we just enjoy the freedom that God gives us? And how long will God's patience keep going like this? I mean, it's been like this for thousands of years, where we have this relationship, then we get complacent, and then we go away from the Word of God. I mean, geez, if I was God, I would smite everyone already. It's so good I'm not God. God was smart to not make me God, or because this world would not survive with me as God. But the book of Judges spans a period of over 325 years, recording six successive periods of oppression and deliverance. And the careers of 12 deliverers, their captors included the Mesopotamians, Moabites, Philistines, Canaanites, Midianites, Ammonites, a variety of deliverers from Othniel to Samson were used by God to lead His people to freedom and true worship. God's deliverance through the judges is a powerful demonstration of His love and mercy towards His people. I would hope you guys would read the book of Judges and take a good look at the heroes from Jewish history and take note of their dependence on God and obedience to His commands. Observe, though, Israel's repeated downward spiral into sin, refusing to learn from history and living only for the moment. But most of all, stand in awe of God's mercy as He delivers His people over and over and over again. We're going to take a small break. We'll be back right after this to pick up where we left off.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
At AngiesList.com/Amber, you can find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you use promo code AMBER, you will save 25% off your subscription. It used to be difficult to find service providers you can trust, but not anymore thanks to AngiesList.com/Amber. So visit AngiesList.com/Amber today and save time and money. Have you visited the AmberMayShow.com yet? I have all kinds of discounts to save you money. You can find a discount for eastbay.com when you use promo code AFAMBER1. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER1. And you can save 15% off any order of shoes or apparel. Save even more when you use promo code AFAMBER2. That's A as in Adam, F as in Frank, AMBER2. And you get 20% off $75 or more. If you need any sort of shoes, from athletic to casual, they have you covered. Remember, promo code AFAMBER1 for 15% off, or AFAMBER2 for 20% off $75 or more.
This is the Amber May Show.
There are four mega themes found in the Book of Judges, and one is compromise and decline. Whenever a judge died, the people faced decline and failure because they compromised their high spiritual purpose in many ways, and they abandoned their mission to drive all the people out of the land, and they adopted the custom of the people living around them. And I find that today among a lot of the Christian believers, we kind of just let things go, and we kind of didn't say, you know, this is immorality, and you shouldn't be doing this, and then we start participating in the things of immorality. And the importance of that is society has many rewards to offer those who compromise their faith, wealth, acceptance, recognition, power, and influence. When God gives us a mission, it must not be polluted by a desire for approval from society. We must keep our eyes on Christ, who is our judge and our deliverer. A second major theme is decay and apostasy. Israel's moral downfall had its roots in the fierce independence that each tribe cherished. It led to everyone doing whatever seemed fit in his own eyes. There was no unity in government or in worship. Law and order broke down. Finally, idol worship and man-made religion led to the complete abandoning of faith in God. I find this interesting because just recently in our courts, someone wanted to take the motto, "From God we trust," off of our currency. We no longer say the Pledge of Allegiance because one nation under God isn't acceptable anymore. We took prayer out of schools and the reading of the Bible from the 1960s and no longer teach that in our nation. The philosophy of school in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next, or something to that effect. So what we learn in school has an effect on our government. So we are kind of at this point where we have almost completely abandoned our faith in God. The Supreme Court or some high court, someone sued to want to remove the memorial that's in California with a cross on it. The ACLJ has been fighting that. I think right now they've won by one vote to keep that memorial, the cross, in California. It's in the desert. One vote, that's it. They could have almost lost that memorial site. The importance of this is we can expect decay when we value anything more highly than God. If we value our own independence more than dedication to God, we have placed an idol in our hearts. Soon our lives become temples to that God. We must consistently regard God's first claim on our lives and on our desires. God used evil oppressors to punish the Israelites from their sin, to bring them into the point of repentance, and to test their allegiance to Him. I don't really want to go there, but it looks like we're heading that way in this country. Rebellion against God leads to disaster. God may use defeat to bring wandering hearts back to Him. When all else is stripped away, we recognize the importance of serving only Him. The next major theme is repentance. Decline decay, defeat caused the people to cry out to God for help. They vowed to turn from idolatry and to turn to God for mercy and deliverance. When they repented, God delivered them. Idolatry gains a foothold in our hearts. When we make anything more important than God, we must identify modern idols in our hearts, renounce them, and turn to God for his love and mercy. Which reminds me of 2 Chronicles. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That totally fits Judges. That totally fits the times we're living in. Because if we did that, this country would be prosperous again, whole, rich. We'd be living in so much freedom. But it seems like from the times our forefathers lived to the time now, we've lost a lot of our freedom to big government. They regulate everything, and now they're involved in the banking system. They own the car dealership of GM. We have just lost a lot of freedom to big government. And God is the one who gave us the freedom. And it was interesting about government, because later on, in a few books after Judges, you see, we get actually introduced to Samuel in Judges. And Samuel was the last judge. And he appointed Saul as king and then David as king. But God didn't want them to have a king, but they were like teenagers and thought they knew best and wanted a king. Maybe it was because they saw Samuel's sons corrupt and would take bribery and was not a good judge, a good leader. But God wanted to be their leader, their king, and he used a man to be that gap between the people and God. And he used Samuel, and he used Deborah, and he used Samson, and he used Gideon. So he used these people to fill in the gap. But this is why God didn't want to have a king, and this is why he wanted freedom for us. And this is why he didn't really want big government or government at all, because he knew the consequences of this. And so let me tell you the consequences. And you find this in 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 10. And he says, Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, this is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. They will run in front of his chariots. Some will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your field and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys, and he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flock, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel, and they said, we want a king over us. And because of that decision, now we have government instead of God taking over and being ahead of us. And that has come to pass. Now our men and women serve in the military for our president. And the government keeps taking a lot of taxes from us. And the more taxes they take, we have less money that we've earned from our jobs because of the taxes. They keep taking money from us. We can no longer own land because if we don't pay taxes on the land, they can take the land from us. So we don't really get to have anything. We lease land from the government. We lease houses from the government. If we don't pay our property taxes, we lose it. And God just wanted freedom. He wasn't going to ask for all of that. During the time of Judges, they had a lot of freedom before they, you know, would fall into their routine and then be disciplined. They had a lot of freedom and prosperity. But after that, Israel experienced many terrible kings in their time. And then they would be taken over by kings that worshipped other gods like Babylon. But eventually, the king of Babylon had a relationship with God because of his servant Daniel. And we've done a few shows on the book of Daniel. So these are some things to keep in mind. And this is why I thought that the book of Judges was a very important book to be had, because it, to me, it fits the time we're living in. And we can do as the Israelites did and go into complacency and disregard what God says, or we can worship God. But if I could just read as we close the show with the story of Gideon, I think it's a nice story. You can find it in chapters 6, 7, and 8 of Judges. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. For 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelter for themselves in the mountain clefts and caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midians and Amalekites and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing. And their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the God of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Oreph, and belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Were we all his wonders and our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you and will strike down all the Midianites together." I love this because God always uses the weakest people, but the weakest people are always the one willing to go. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please don't go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait here until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of its height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. And the men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son, he must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal is really a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew trumpets, summoning the Asherites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. These words are so hard, these names. So that they too went up to meet them, Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all around the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day, and he squeezed the fleece, and it wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with this fleece. This time make the fleece dry and all around covered with dew." And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground all around was covered with dew. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. Camp of the Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hand. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength saved her, announce now to the people that anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongue like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." So the 300 men lapped their hands to their mouth, and the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let the other men go, and each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tent, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of the Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hand. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." And so he and Purah sent servants, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted as the sands on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This could be nothing than the words of the Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God had given the Midianites the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and his interpretation, he worshipped God, and he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands, dividing the 300 men into 300 companies. He placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Watch me," he told them, "follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed guards, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. Three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held a position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with the swords. The army fled towards Zerah, as far from the border of Abel-Meral, near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth-Bara." So all the men of Ephraim were called out and took the waters of the Jordan as far from Beth-Bara. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. So God defeated a huge army, and the guys didn't even have to go to battle. A life lesson we can learn from that is that God calls in the middle of our present obedience. As we are thankful, He gives us more responsibility. God expands and uses the abilities He had already built into us. And God uses us in spite of our limitations and failures. Even those who make great spiritual progress can easily fall into sin if they don't constantly follow God. And remember, instead of thinking about just yourself, number one, look out for someone else, number two, because eventually number two will look out for you.
The Amber May Show is a paid affiliate of AngiesList.com.